It's becoming a habit here, I guess, but ignore your bulletin again. We are going to be in Psalm chapter 30. And the sad thing is, I went up to get my microphone this morning, and Doug's like, okay, what are we changing? He had the screen ready, and so he had them both typed up so that he, because I told him, I said, well, at the time, I honestly did not know. And I said, well, it's going to be either this or this. And so I went downstairs and went through some more prayer time and looked over everything. And this is where I feel like I need to be. And it's where I feel like maybe God wants, I feel like this is where God wants us this morning. And so anyway, we are going to be in Psalm chapter 30. So if you want to turn there. And this is a Psalm of David. And as he shares this, there's a passage that earlier this week, or maybe even a week or so ago, there used to be a little old man, his name was Paul Cole. Some of you may remember him. And I can remember him walking down the aisle to come and do like on a fifth Sunday sing. And he came and he sang the song, Then Came the Morning. And I know it's a lot of times it's around Easter, but I'll never forget that image of him coming up to sing that song. And that song, anytime I hear it or think of it or even read this passage here, I have that picture in my mind that I'm blessed with. And so this morning we are going to be there in Psalm 30. Like I said, this is a Psalm of David, and it's something that I think it tells us a lot, but it also should convict us some. And it also should encourage us. And so that's where we're going to be this morning. So if you want to read along with me, starting in verse 1, it says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to the Lord. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word and as we read this psalm, Lord, I pray you open our eyes and our heart. Lord, I pray your spirit would move in this place to where we understand what it is you have for us today. Lord, your presence is so real. Lord, we thank you for all you do as we remember how holy you are. Lord, may we never take for granted the love of Jesus Christ. May you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is a passage of David, and he has just come through a rough time in his life to where they think some scholars believe that he probably wrote this sometime when he was running from Saul, or he was out on a battlefield where God had physically spared his life and brought him to a point of healing. And so that's the place where he got to when he began to praise the Lord for his deliverance, and that God lifted him up and God healed him and God brought him out alive. Now, probably most of us would never think back through this week and think, okay, well, you know, there may be some that says God healed us, and that may be the case because we've had some that were sick and are not. And there are some that we may not probably picture that God has saved us from the grave, but we know that God's hand is always on us and protects us, and so we know that's the case as well. And we know that He's always, all of us should see how He's lifted us up. And so we can all put ourselves at some point in David's shoes here. And that's what I want us to do this morning, because I want us to understand David's psalm here as he shares it. I want it to become real and understanding to us. And so, first of all, we have to stop and we have to understand how God has delivered us. Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then ultimately that's the greatest deliverance. But also, He's delivered you every single day. He's delivered me every day from the things around me. And so, as we get to that point, verse 4 is where I want to focus this morning. It says, David has been praising God for His deliverance. And then in verse 4, he says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His." If you are a Christian, if you are a saint of God, then you better be praising. Because if you and I don't praise, if you and I don't send praise to God, and first of all, it needs to be straight to Him. Testimonies are great to other people, but praise goes to God. We understand that, but sometimes we miss that. We praise God during a song or when we have a flashback or think of something like that. But we should praise Him every time we remember His holy name. But praise not only goes to Him, it goes out. It goes to people as well through that testimony. And David says, "Praise the Lord, you saints of His." How can you be a Christian and not praise God every single day? But yet there's a lot of days when I'm halfway through the day or three-fourths or all the way through the day or maybe the next day and I realize, you know, yesterday or earlier, I'm not praising God the way I should because I'm taking for granted the blessings and the restoration that God has given me. And we can't do that. Because if they don't hear it and see it in us, then where are they going to hear it? Where are they going to see it? So he tells all, he encourages all to sing praise to God if you're His saint and to give thanks at a remembrance of His holy name. I know a lot of times I've got my sucker basket out here and when they'll get a sucker, the parents will say or somebody will say, "Well, what do you tell him?" And the kid, and they will always say, "Thank you." And that's what we're taught is to say thank you after receiving something. But as adults, every single day you and I receive something from God. And do we thank Him? No, it's just tacked on. When we see it's something that I want, like that sucker, then when I get what I want, I say thanks. Man, that's a spiritual lesson that really hits me and hurts. Because I thank God for the things I want. But this says thank Him just for the remembrance of His holy name. We should thank Him just for who He is. Not just because He gives us things, and not just because He blesses us, not just because of the good things in our life, but because He's a holy God, and I and you are not. We do not deserve. That's why it's grace. So David encourages, and I encourage you this morning, and I try to remind myself to sing praise and to give thanks. And David tacks on here. He goes on into this next verse. And I love this part, this verse 5. But we can't take it out of context. David is telling, you know, of the praises that he has praised. He is glad and giving thanks to God for the deliverance. And then he encourages other people to do that same thing. But in the middle of saying give thanks and praise God, He gives us some things here that we need to focus on this morning. Because He says, His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Man, there is such a drastic line between those two. And we can look at them and read through it very quickly and say, well, His anger is short, but His favor's for a lifetime. And that is so true. One is momentary, but favor of God, if you're His, is for a lifetime. But I want us to stop and understand what a lot of people want to skip over. And that is, His anger is real. Yes, the verse says it's but for a moment. But you and I skip over the anger part because that's really not something that we have to deal with. That's what we say. And we want to move on to that favor, and we will get to that. But we cannot skip the fact that God's anger is real. It tells us over and over and over throughout the Old Testament of the children of Israel, and they were a stiff-necked people, and they wouldn't do what God had called them to do. And even Moses, when he struck the rock, it says that God's anger burned against Moses. And when I think of that, and all of the children of Israel, and everything that they'd done, and different kings that they would set up something that they shouldn't, and it would say that God's anger burned against them. Well, that was those Old Testament people. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He gets angry at stiff-necked people. And I don't know about you, but we run into them all the day, and I see one every day when I look in the mirror. We have to understand that God's anger is real, and though it may be momentary, which is a good thing, we have to understand why that anger is there. That anger that is so real, but only for a moment, is because He loves us. But it's also because I choose to sin and you choose to sin. Well, that's just part of our human nature. Don't use that excuse. Yes, we are by nature sinners. Because of a fallen nature, we have that. But if I ever take the point and say, well, I'm going to sin because that's my human nature, then I've surrendered to that. And we can't do that if we've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, because the old person has gone and the new has come. But understanding that anger is there because of sin that we allow, that we desire in our life. Because of our attitudes, because of our actions, because of our pride, whatever it happens to be, those things that are there, God's anger is there because we sin. Well, my sin was taken care of at the cross. Yes, it was. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He has redeemed me. He is the blood of Jesus has washed away my sins. But there's still sin in my life. Well, Pastor, how does that happen? He has taken care of my eternal punishment through the blood of Jesus Christ. But my daily sin is what keeps me from being right with God. And for that, I have to repent. For that, you have to repent. Not for salvation, if you've already accepted Christ. It's not that. But it's to understand that relationship is broken when there's unconfessed sin. That's why it's but for a moment. Because the minute I lay it down at His feet, it's gone. It's only there for a moment. Praise God for that. But opposite of His anger is His favor. His favor is for a lifetime. Stop and think about that. If you have God's favor, if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then you have God's favor. You are His child, and because of that, His favor, which is His blessings, which is His restoration, is for life. We understand that His restoration is for life. His blessings are daily and for life. They are for this life. The Bible tells us that He gives us life, and He gives us an abundant life. He doesn't do it just so we can get by. Well, you just get through this life, and eternity waits. No, it's I want you to have an abundant life, blessings and restoration in this lifetime. His favor is for you for your whole life. And I walk through my life not thinking about those blessings, not thinking about that favor. What it cost Him that I might have that favor. What it cost Him that you might have that favor and have it for a lifetime. And then I go through, woe is me. And I'm not saying we're not going to have bad times, because the next part of that verse obviously shows that we will. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Man, couldn't we just skip right on to mourning? You know, in the Old Testament, clear back to the creation, when things were created on each day, I don't know if you ever paid attention, but it always says, an evening and morning was the first day, was the second day. It always says evening and then morning. Because that darkness always came before the light. You and I are going to face some darkness. And in that darkness, there's going to be weeping. There are going to be tough times. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is controlled by the, and I say controlled in a small sense, but by the power of Satan. He's the prince of this world. And it's a broken world because too many people worship him. And because of that, you and I as Christians, the Bible says they're going to face light and momentary problems. But our salvation, eternity, far outweighs all of those. But they are going to be real. When you hurt, and it's coming if it's not there already. But it's not going to last. Now, there are times when people say, well, mine's lasted all these years. I've had this illness. I've had this problem. I lost this person. And those all happen, and those all last. Like it says, weeping may endure for the night, for a long time. We need to understand that the time and the trouble, the night sometimes, that enduring through that process, that rough weeping time is going to go. And we don't know how long it's going to be. A night watchman can't wait till his shift is over in the morning. I've talked to some of you guys out there that were over in Vietnam, and if you had detail overnight, you couldn't wait till the next morning. In the Bible, King Darius, when they had put Daniel in the lion's den, it said he stayed up all night. He didn't let anybody bring him food. He didn't let the musicians come to him. No sleep was found in him, and he walked and paced, waiting until morning so he could go and see if Daniel was still alive. It's tough to endure the night, especially when we are weeping. Because we're hurt. We're hurting. We're going through pain. But you look at that, and the way we endure it is because joy comes in the morning. It does not say joy might come in the morning. It doesn't say joy will probably come in the morning. It says joy comes in the morning. We know, and as I get older, it seems like the nighttime is so much shorter. I don't know if you guys are that way. The older I get, my time to go to bed at night to the time I wake up in the morning seems like that. It just seems so quickly. When I was younger, it seemed like, man, I got so much I want to do tomorrow. It just seemed like that night just drug on and drug on and drug on. And so our perception of that morning coming changes even in us. But you know what? I'm 62 years old, and every morning has always came. And that's our promise. That doesn't mean that maybe in that understanding of that trouble or trial that I had yesterday, well, when tomorrow morning comes, that trial will be gone. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about eventually that joy that comes only through Jesus will eventually come. You and I know that. You and I can understand that. If you've accepted Christ, you know that. Let's look at these same four things: the anger, the favor, the weeping, and the joy. And I want to take them and I want to relay them to Jesus. Because all four of these things tie into the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That sin of mine is the reason. His anger wasn't towards Jesus. His anger was towards my sin, and that's what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. But the favor that He has in us that lasts a lifetime comes through that conquering of death by Jesus. And weeping, I can't even imagine what the disciples, what the women went through from Friday to Sunday. And we study every Easter, we go through it every Easter about when they come to the tomb very early on the Sabbath. And they realize He's not there. And when He walks back and He talks to them, and then He ascends into heaven and He says, "And I'm coming back," then they know joy is coming. Those same four things are going to hit us every single day. Jesus' life, it ties into Him. David tried to explain it to those that were God's saints. That's us. You and I do not want the anger of God against us. But if we're going to walk and talk and claim to be Christians and continue to allow sin in our life, then God cannot be happy with sin in the life of a professing Christian. And I'm not talking that making a mistake type of deal. I'm talking about a lifestyle of sin, where sin abides in me and I'm okay with it. Where sin abides in you and you're okay with it. Well, surely we wouldn't do that. Yes, we do. We need to stop and think about the favor. Not just the blessings, but the restoration of what He's done for us, how He's changed us, how He's restored us from being that sinner to that saint who is saved by grace. And yeah, you're going to face some tough times, but joy's coming. One of these days, that eastern sky is going to split. When it does, that trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be at the Lord forever. Encourage one another with these words. Joy is coming in the morning. Now, as David has done this, he's talked about his deliverance. He's encouraged others, Christians, believers, saints, to remember and praise. And then he tells them, these things are going to happen in your life, those things that we just talked about. And then he confesses and says, "Now in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved." This is where we struggle. Because David, because he was protected, God had protected him. He knows that he is a saint of God. He knows that that God's anger is not going to last and that His favor is there and that the weeping is going to end and joy is coming. And so surely I'm doing okay. And in all of His prosperity, as He knew He was the king or going to be the king, He began to say, look at me. And in all of His prosperity, He said, I shall never be moved. It became about David. Well, surely if all of these things that we're praising God for His deliverance and all of these things that we've just talked about, where we need to be careful is because we make life about us. David did. I can never be moved. It's about me. And he goes on and he says, Lord, your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. David understood. He went from, I'm standing strong, I can't be moved, to the point of realizing that God is the one that brought him to where he is and that keeps him strong. You and I have to understand that this life is not about us. All of the blessings, all of the restoration, all of the favor, everything is there for us. And we begin to look at the blessings and we begin to think about all the things that God gives us, and I begin to focus on those things and I miss focusing on the giver of those things. I know I have that favor. And so I look at that favor. I focus on that favor. And before I know it, I start thinking about how I'm okay. I'm good. And like David, we begin to think that we can't be moved. It's all about us. But only by God's favor will we understand that it's Him. I can remember in men's Bible study we talked about a person that said they were a self-made man. No, there's no such thing. Whatever you are, whatever you've become, whatever you're becoming is only by the grace of God. David had to get to a point here in verse 6 to go from understanding that it's not about him. And then into verse 7, that it is God who made it all possible. And the last part of 7 says, you hid your face, and I was troubled. The understanding is that God turned away because of his pride. When you and I become prideful, God's discipline is that he turns away from a prideful heart. But God didn't abandon. And David, it says, I was troubled. That come to an understanding in his mind, a realization to understand that I need to get my heart back to God and get rid of pride. And so what does he do in verse 8? He says, I cried out to you, O Lord. And to the Lord I made supplication, an urgent plea for mercy. As we look at this passage that David shared in this psalm, I want myself more than anything to understand what it is God is trying to say to us, what he's trying to say to me. And that it's without God, nothing is possible. It's His deliverance that we should be thankful for. Whatever type it is, whether He's lifted you up, whether He's healed you, whether He's kept you alive, whatever deliverance He's given you, have you acknowledged Him? Have I acknowledged Him for that? And if I have, then I should be, if I'm His, I should be praising and thanking Him. And of all the things that are going to happen in this life, I need to understand that it cannot and ever be about me. The realization to remember that keeps me from diverting my attention to what I have and keeps me focusing on Him. This morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you fit this scripture, if you've ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But God wants to use this passage to bring you to an understanding that He will lift you up, He will heal you, He will save you, but you've got to acknowledge Him. You've got to become His. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean life's going to be smooth. It's not all cake and cookies. But when it's over, you know where you'll stand. And you can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision this morning, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the joy that can come in the morning. Because it can only come through the blood of Jesus Christ. And for us as Christians, I want us to understand what the presence of God does in this passage. Because you and I need to walk in the presence of God. Because too many times we don't. We don't thank Him, we don't praise Him, we don't spend time with Him, we don't acknowledge our sin. We leave that joy out there that He's promised, that favor that He's promised. We walk without it every day. So today, as Christians, we need to walk in restoration with Him, accepting that favor and anticipating that joy. Because if you and I don't anticipate that joy and we don't live showing that favor, then why in the world would anybody else out there want what we have? Why would they want what we have? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You. We pray that we would understand Your scripture. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't walk out of this place the same. Father, we need You. We need Your presence. We need Your understanding. Lord, watch over us. Draw us into Your presence. Convict us, encourage us, change us, challenge us. Draw us to where You want us to be. We thank You and we praise You for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.